You're listening to the podcast of First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
We are getting into a very interesting time when we're talking about what we believe. Pastor Joseph talked last week, or a couple weeks ago, about the rapture. He talked about kind of end times. If you notice anything about right now, especially in the world around us, there's been a lot of talk when it comes to end times. The blood moons, all of the things. And I've been kind of silent about that because I wanted to see how it was going to pan out. I had a feeling, but I wanted to be silent on it, so I haven't said much. But this morning, I want to give you an overall look at the millennial reign of Christ. And I've never really studied it as much as I have for this sermon, and I'm telling you, it is fascinating. When you get down deep into what the millennial reign of Christ is all about. So many times we get stuck on the rapture. We get stuck where the tribulation is and we forget that there is so much after that. And we get stuck right there. And I want to encourage us, we're going to look at what happens after that. But I want to go back a little bit and just give you some timeline of how we believe that Revelation and the book of Revelation and the end times events are going to play out. And I want to give you some overall thoughts, and I've got about 35 minutes to do it. So I'm not going to be able to go super deep, but I want to give you kind of an overview of why this matters to us. Why should the millennial reign of Christ matter to us? It's important that you and I, we keep the right perspective about end times events. It's important that we keep our perspective right. Really what I would say is it's important that we keep God's perspective on end times events right. You can choose to take a spirit of fear, which is false evidence appearing real. And I think that that's been really highlighted in the last couple of months. A lot of fear, a lot of things that would cause fear in people. And we can get our eyes on almost self-protection. And that takes our eyes off of the fact of what Jesus really is telling us in the end times, which means that we don't need to worry about our self-protection, but we need to worry about bringing everyone with us to heaven that we possibly can. Because there's going to come a time when that opportunity closes. And right now, we don't have to be afraid of what is going to happen in the end times. We need to keep our eyes on what's important, and that is going and spreading the gospel. In fact, if you look at the end times, what it should do, it shouldn't give you fear, but it should give us urgency. It should give us urgency, because if you're sitting here and you have family members that are not saved, you have friends that are not saved, and that trumpet sounds, guess what? They're lost. We don't need to be afraid about us, because God's going to take care of us. We've got to get our eyes on the lost. That is the message of the end times. How it all plays out, we don't really know. There's a lot about the end times that we don't know. We can only speculate. And today I want to give you what we do know. So that when you hear teaching and when you hear things that come out, if we don't know, if we're not sure, if God's word doesn't explicitly say it, don't buy into the fear. How about we say, God, I'm okay with however it's going to work out. As long as I know you and I'm doing everything I can to bring people with me, that's what we've got to be focused on. We don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen. Because so many good things God has laid out. Our mission is to share the gospel, give people an opportunity to get saved. And the end times, that's when we need to ramp it up even more. That's when we need to tell people the time is short. You're not going to have an opportunity. You may not have an opportunity like you do today to accept Jesus in your heart. That's not always going to be available to you. And I know sometimes we talk about the kind of the fear, and that's not to cause fear in other people's hearts, but it's the truth. There's going to come a time when the grace that we live under, when the mercy of God that we live under today is not going to be available anymore. And my goal is for us to, when we look at end times and when we look at that perspective, to make sure our perspective is right. To make sure that we're saying, God, what am I supposed to be doing in these end times? And I believe that we are into that period of history. The signs point to it. The signs point to it. The signs give us direction when we look at the prophecies that have been given. I believe that we're very close, closer than any generation. They say about 85% of biblical prophecy has been fulfilled when it comes to end times events. So I think we're close, but that doesn't cause us to be afraid. If you trust in Jesus and you believe that he has good for you, like we sang, you don't have to be afraid. Because if you're a believer, our destiny is sealed. We know where we're headed. We can't get sidetracked. And I want to, again, give you a little bit of a teaching. There's things that we know about the end times, but there are a lot of things that we don't know. Biblical scholars have spent a ton of time trying to guess and trying to put pieces together. And I think that God, every time we think we know something, God goes, really? Let me show you this. But when we take it from a human perspective, and that's, I mean, I've been around long enough to know in the church to hear all of the times that Jesus was supposed to be coming back. How many of you remember 88 reasons in 1988 that Jesus was coming back? Or how many remember in Y2K? Do you know what we did on the day after on Y2K? January 1st, 2000, Paul and I flew because we got great cheap tickets. That's what we did, right? We're like, man, this is a great day to get. We can't live in fear because there's always something coming down the pike. We can't live in fear. You know what I did on the night of the blood moons? I went to bed and rested well. I wasn't worried. God has this thing all figured out. We don't have to worry about it. But biblical scholars and Christians have been talking about the end times since Jesus went back to heaven. They viewed that as the end times. There's a great deal of speculation and guessing about what the end times are going to look like. But the reality on a large amount of this information, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out. And we're okay with that. We have to be okay with that. Because if we knew, then we wouldn't have to trust. If we knew, then we wouldn't have to trust. And what God is saying is, trust me. Do you trust me enough to know that I've got the future in my hand? Do you trust me enough to know that I'm going to take care of my children? That's really what the millennial reign of Christ is all about. And I love that. We don't know how it's exactly going to play out. So when you hear, well, this is what's going to happen, and you need to start like saving all this food and start doing all this stuff, this is what's going to happen. And we know that's, I'd go, does the scripture say it? If it doesn't say it, then chances are it's probably not going to happen. So I think we have to have that perspective. And listen, I am into all of this stuff as much as anybody else is. But where I don't go is to a place of fear. I think it's interesting. Let them speculate. I'm not going to buy any books on it, but I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to hear what people think and the speculation. God did this on purpose. Again, if we knew all of the plans and how everything was going to work out and play out in the end times, down to the nitty-gritty details, there's three things I think would happen. One, we wouldn't have to trust God because we'd already know. And you know, when humans know stuff, it's not good because we get afraid of it. I think if you knew God's plans for the end times and we actually knew how it was going to play out, I think we'd be like, whoa, it would be mind-blowing. We wouldn't know. I don't think we'd know what to do with it. Second, with our human understanding and thoughts, because what does Scripture say? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So anytime man tries to figure it out and put it into our thoughts, it's a really good idea that it's probably not going to happen. Third, God decided that we didn't need to know. Listen, we don't need to know everything. And there's things that God keeps a mystery from us on purpose. But the things that we do know, I want to highlight really quick. What do we know about the end times? And I want to share with you the things, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but I think it really helps us kind of sharing what we do know and the timeline of how it's going to play out. One, there will be signs pointing to the end times. Signs just like on a street that we need to follow, that we need to, they're almost like a roadmap that Jesus has laid out, that Scripture has laid out. We don't need to jump to conclusions or think we know when Jesus is coming back, but be aware of the signs. Why do we see signs? Why do we see this thing, the signs of the times? Because Jesus is saying, let's get going on the Great Commission. Don't be afraid, but it's time to ramp it up. Amen? It's not a time to be afraid. These signs are saying to you, time is shorter and shorter and shorter. It's time to bring in the harvest. It's time to go and to reach people that we've never... It's time that we get out of our comfort zone. And when you have an opportunity to share the gospel, you better do it, because it could be the last time. That's the signs that we're talking about. Number two, buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be super encouraging. Things will get worse before they get better. The world will experience a great tribulation. Don't be shocked when all of this stuff starts to happen. Matthew 24, 3 through 14. I want to read it. Turn there in your scripture. You might need to read this a little bit later. Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of the coming at the end of the age. This was the disciples talking to Jesus. And Jesus answered. So they even wanted to know. They even were sitting with Jesus and they said, tell us what's going to happen. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Listen, one of the things the Lord would say to us today is don't be led astray. Just because it looks good, just because it's big, just because people seem to be maybe getting saved at a place, don't be led astray. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. People, look at it. It says many will be led astray. Jesus warned us, see that no one leads you astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Do not live in fear. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as the testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Grasp a hold of that for just a moment. And take the words out that you see, that we see in Scripture, that Jesus was warning us. Don't be led astray. Don't be afraid. You might be hated for my name. Don't fall away. Don't let your love grow cold. When you look at that, that's what Jesus is telling us in Scripture. He's not telling us to go into a mountain cave and hoard a bunch of food and wait for it to all happen. He's saying, stay right in the middle of it and tell people about me and don't let these things happen to you while you're there. Everybody with me? We know that things are going to get bad when it comes to natural disaster, war, and other mayhem. People will also be out of control. We'll step into a period of tribulation, and the tribulation will be worse than anything the world has ever seen. Matthew 24, 21 through 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as there has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Who are the elect? You and me, for believers. And you know what? I don't think we'll actually be here. But if we are here for some reason, that's what we read in Scripture. Because I believe that the rapture, and Pastor Joseph talked about this, the rapture will happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Christ will remove all the born-again believers from the earth in an event known as the rapture. And see, in Christian circles, there's things called pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. And I believe in the pan theory. Everything's going to pan out in the end. But I'd say pre-trib. But that's one of the things that we don't know exactly really for sure. So when we're looking at that, our denomination, we believe in pre-trib. But it's one of those things, I'm not sure. It doesn't ever come straight out and say it. So, you know, I believe in what we believe. But I think that as we're looking at that, it is an interesting perspective when you look at that. At the judgment seat of Christ when the rapture happens, and Pastor Joseph, I think, talked about this, believers will be rewarded for their good works and faithful service. There's a judgment time that we'll stand before God, and He'll say, what did you do with the time that you were here on this earth? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Another thing that we see in that Scripture tells us is we're to encourage each other. I think that the church will need each other more than ever before in this time period. We're going to need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to need each other. What do we know about the rapture? No one knows when Jesus is coming back, not even Jesus. So if somebody comes along and says, well, I think He's coming back on May 21st of 2016, you know that Scripture. No one knows. Mark 13, 13:32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. In the discussion of end times prophecy, we have to remember this. No one knows the time or the hour. And I do not believe that if Jesus doesn't even know, why would God give a revelation to you or I? We don't know. So when people say they know, they don't know. It's not possible. Another thing that we know about the rapture is Jesus is going to surprise everyone when he comes back. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. Now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. That's a pretty strong scripture. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come on them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. What thief is ever going to say, by the way, I'm coming on May 22nd to steal from your house? It's not going to happen. We don't know when that's going to happen. But I think what it's saying is, be ready, because it could happen at any moment. Be ready. Don't ever take it for granted that you have your next breath. Don't ever take it for granted that you have tomorrow. Another thing that we see after the rapture, an antichrist will arise with the promise to bring false peace. Matthew 24:24-25. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the very elect. See, I've told you beforehand. And I think what we have to realize is our discernment needs to be on during this period. We need to have our eyes open, but we can't be afraid of signs and wonders either, because we're afraid we're going to get led astray. If you notice, it says, if possible. And if you're in God's word and you're listening to his voice, it's not going to be possible. We're not going to be deceived, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, no, this isn't right. So we don't need to be afraid of it. Again, within scripture, it tells us the Antichrist will sign a covenant with Israel. Actually, let me go back to 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we would know that it is the last hour. The Antichrist will sign a covenant with Israel for 7 years. You see, we hear this all the time. Peace treaties. We hear people like, man, if Israel could just sign a peace, it's not going to happen until this point. We're not going to see peace like what we think we're going to see. During the tribulation, there will be terrible wars, famines, plagues, natural disasters. God will be pouring out his wrath against sin, evil, and wickedness. The tribulation will include the appearance of a four horsemen or the apocalypse and the seven seal, trumpet, and bowl judgment. If you haven't studied Revelation, I encourage you to do that. About halfway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will break the peace covenant with Israel and make war against it. The Antichrist will commit the abomination of desolation and set up an image of himself to be worshipped in the Jerusalem temple, which will have to be rebuilt. We know that that process of rebuilding the temple is already set into place right now. So you hear about that playing out. At the end of the 7 year tribulation, the Antichrist will launch a final attack on Jerusalem, culminating with the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus, and this is the second coming, Jesus will return, destroy the Antichrist and his armies, and cast them into a lake of fire. So you have the rapture, then you have the second coming, and when Jesus comes back, he's going to deal with the enemy, he's going to throw the enemy into the abyss, and will begin the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. So many times we stop right there. I don't know about you, but I've been in church for a long time, and I've never really studied what the millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ is going to look like. And I want to walk you through some things. In that 1,000-year reign of Christ, Israel will be put and restored. So you'll see that as a piece to that, where Israel, God's chosen people. Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the final judgment and the new heavens and earth. I want to share with you, though, what we believe when it comes to the millennial reign of Christ. So what is the millennial reign of Christ? I believe this is going to be some of the greatest moments as history culminates. And you'll see Jesus come on the scene. He will be the ruler. There's going to be so much more than just the tribulation and the dark times that we faced ahead of that. We're going to have 1,000 years of true peace and being with Jesus. It's going to be amazing. We have got to keep the end in mind. We can't look at the beginning or the middle. Folks, we got to keep the end in mind. Because there'll be 1,000 years of true peace where Jesus reigns on this earth. We have to keep in the end in mind, because after that point will be the final judgment where there is no more grace or mercy and it's over. We have to keep the end in mind. We can't get so stuck on the rapture in the middle of it. Revelations 21 through 6 tells us, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into a pit and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he may not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while." Why? Why is that? Why would God choose even 1,000 years? Why wouldn't he just take us right to the end and have it over with? I want to give you some interesting thoughts when it comes to this. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be released, defeated again, and then cast into the lake of fire. From what you can tell in Scripture, and some people go, well, the millennial reign, maybe it's figurative. I believe that it's a literal 1,000 years. You see it mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. A literal period of years, not some nebulous idea. At the beginning of 1,000 years, only believers will be on the earth. That would be those who are raptured and those who have experienced salvation from the moment of tribulation on and have lived through that will be who is on the earth. It'd be those that gave their hearts to the Lord. Why would God set up a millennial reign? There's a couple of reasons. One, he set this up so he could fulfill all of his promises. God is a God who, when he gives you a promise, he'll always fulfill it. So he set those 1,000 years up, and there were only promises that could be fulfilled if Jesus was ruling here on earth, like the Davidic covenant. There's promises that God would have to take care of here on this earth during that 1,000-year reign. And listen, God is always a God who keeps his promises, so these promises will be fulfilled before the end. And I love that about God. I love the fact that if he gives us a promise in his word, he never leaves loose ends. He sets it up. There's a plan. God always keeps his promises and covenants. He never leaves loose ends. Some of these promises called covenants were given specifically to Israel. Others were given to Jesus, the nations of the world and creation. There's promises God made to the world that can't be fulfilled while Satan is free and humans have political authority. And these promises, as Jesus reigns on this earth, will be fulfilled. The main purpose of Jesus' 1,000-year reign is to fulfill those prophecies given to Israel and the promises made to Jesus, the nation, and the whole earth. God's covenants were voluntary and one-sided. He did them for us. He promised he would bless Israel and restore the world in a specific way, and he will. I love this. God is a God who always keeps his promises. And he'll go to great lengths to make sure those promises are taken care of. Also, to show his goodness and his love for his people, God will set up what is known as a benevolent theocracy, ruled by Jesus. All of the people's needs will be taken care of, and his grace will be on display. Can you imagine living in that kind of a world? If you're a believer today, that's what your destiny is. That's where we're headed. In that 1,000-year reign with Jesus, where we'll be ruling together with him. I want to share with you some interesting aspects of the millennial reign of Christ. One, there'll be 2 distinct groups of people occupying the earth during the millennial reign of Christ. One group will be people who with glorified bodies. And the people that would have the glorified bodies are the rapture, people who have gone through the rapture, people who have died before the rapture. This group of people would be those who are raptured and died before the tribulation. The other group will be people who have earthly bodies. They live through the tribulation. Also during the millennium, that 1,000-year reign, people will have children, they'll work, they'll do normal jobs, they'll die, death will still be a part of that. For people who are living in glorified bodies, and it's interesting because it's mind-boggling when you think about this, isn't it? Totally different than what the world we live in today. But this is coming. Everybody still with me? Okay. The second group will also be compromised, like I said, that are born. The people with glorified bodies will not have a sin nature. They'll be immortal. They'll rule and reign with Jesus during the millennial. The people who have earthly bodies will be mortal and will be more likely to die. They will be born with a sin nature And we'll have to repent and make a choice to follow Jesus. That's why when the enemy is released at the end of that 1,000 years, there will be many that fall away. And that's how that happens. Is the people that have earthly bodies that were born during the millennium or had gone through tribulation, they will have free will, which also means that they can make a choice to rebel against Jesus. They will sin during this period, even with the enemy being in the abyss. The thing about Jesus being on the reign, being the ruler, is he will not put up with sin like we see today. That won't be a part of that millennial reign. The people who are enter the millennium that are from earthly bodies are born, they work, they live in houses, marry, have children, and possibly die. The millennium will also be 1,000 years of true peace without the enemy. Can you imagine the enemy not being here? What we're going to live like where the enemy is not tempting. It's going to be incredible. What an incredible time to live. Jesus will be ruling here on earth in person. The Old Testament prophets and people will be resurrected. David, could you imagine? I've always wanted to meet David. We're going to get a chance to meet David. The Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament characters, the Elijah and Elisha and all. I mean, just think about that for a minute. How amazing life is going to be during that time. David will rule with Jesus. It's going to be amazing. He'll take care of all of our needs. Even with Jesus being here, though, on earth and all of our needs being met, there will still be people that will fall away. It shows you how strong the sin nature is. Could you imagine? You're looking at Jesus face to face and you see all the good that he does, and there'll still be people that will fall away. Why? Because as the people get further and further away from the tribulation and the start of the millennium, they will take for granted how good they have it. The sin nature will come along. They'll take for granted. Some people may even harbor doubts about the goodness of God. Isn't that crazy? Even with Jesus being right in front of the people, they're still saying, God, are you good? Listen, we cannot buy into that. Because even today, the enemy tries to get us to question that. God, do your promises really work for me? God, are you really good? And if we buy into that, it starts the separation process. If you do not believe that God is good and he is for you, you're never going to know how to serve him. We have to believe that, that God is good, God is for us, that we don't have to be afraid. The enemy has used this trick from the beginning. In fact, that's why he fell to begin with, because he started questioning the goodness of God. God, are you really good? God, are you really who you say you are? At the end of the millennial reign, Satan is loosed and is able to deceive a vast multitude to follow him in one final rebellion. God's trying to tell us something about his nature displayed during the millennium. His grace and goodness will be on display continually for 1,000 years. I can't even imagine living in that type of an atmosphere. But that's what's coming. For those that believe, for those that love Jesus, for those that are sitting in this room right now and you're a Jesus follower, the millennial reign of Christ is what our promise is. That's where we're headed. That's pretty awesome. When it happens, when God gets to the end of the 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, he will have zero tolerance for rebellion. When it happens, he will show no mercy and offer no second chances. At that time, he will be quick to judge, and the final rebellion of Satan and sinful man will be over in a flash of fire. Scripture tells us this. After this, the final judgment of the dead takes place, which is not a judgment that happens to believers, but people who don't believe. We'll talk about that more next week. Listen, there's a time coming where we don't live under the same grace that we live under today. There's a time coming when God says, enough is enough, we're done. Let's be on target to reach people. Now is the time. How do we respond? Point number two. How does the millennial reign of Christ affect our lives today? Listen, the tribulation is 7 years. The millennial reign of God is 1,000 years. You think about how much time God's goodness, I mean, he just pours it out on us. You think about there's so much more to life than what we're even seeing right now. Don't get tied down with the things that don't really matter today when you have eternity to think about. I'm not sure we can even really grasp how deep of a truth that is. We get so wrapped up in the little things of today and tomorrow that we forget there's eternity ahead. There's going to be 1,000 years where we don't have to worry about it. 1,000 years. We can barely fathom 70. And then it's eternity, new heavens and new earth. We can't be afraid in this time. We have to remember that no one knows the day or the time, but we can't be afraid. God will protect those who believe. I want to take you in an intro, Zephaniah 2:3. First person that turns there gets a prize. That's not a book we normally go to. Zephaniah 2:3 says this, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord." We cannot lose sight of the mission. Our mission is to tell people about Jesus. Our mission, your mission is not to be experts on the end times. We don't have to worry about how it's all going to play out. Just be worried that it's time. Time's coming. Be an expert on reaching people. Be an expert on the Great Commission. How can I reach more people? How can I have more of an effect on somebody? Don't worry about knowing and being an expert on the end times. Don't be worried about anything. But be after people's souls. I want to take as many people into heaven with me as I possibly can. It's also important to remember, death is not the end. When we go to a funeral here on earth for a believer, it's not the end. It's the beginning for them. So we don't have to be sad. I know it's sad sometimes. If you go to a funeral of a non-believer, that's a whole different story. The struggle we face today will be over at some point. What we're struggling with today, it's going to be over. So that's why it's not time to, we don't need to spend a ton of time worried about where we're going to be taken. And we don't have to spend a ton of time even about the little things of today. We need to live with eternity and focus. This life is just an introduction. It's just the introduction chapter of what eternity is going to be like with Jesus. But so much better. I don't even have the words to explain how incredible I think eternity is going to be. I don't think we could give it justice when we think about this and we sit and we try to wrap our mind around it. Don't exchange your present situation or life for eternity. I fear so many people for a moment of pleasure will exchange their life now for eternity. For that moment of pleasure. We have to be so careful. The enemy does not want us to go into eternity with Jesus. He does everything he can to get us sidetracked. Do not exchange eternity for a moment here in this life. It's an incredible exchange. We don't like to talk about judgment in the world that we live in. And the truth is there's a day coming where every knee will bow and every person will be judged. I hear that all the time. Are you judging me? Don't judge me. I go, God's going to judge you. You better get ready. He loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. But don't ever exchange your present situation or life for eternity. Don't let the present keep you from experiencing eternity. It's amazing how many people have. Even in this 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, there will be people who fall away. They watch Jesus. They watch his goodness. There will be people that fall away and exchange eternity for a moment. Don't exchange eternity for a moment. There's good coming. There's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. The tribulation isn't the end. All of the difficult things that we read about, it's not the end. That's just a moment. The end is going to be 1,000 years with Jesus. The end is going to be a new heaven and new earth for those that believe. Think about it. It's just amazing. When you watch this all play out. Today, a couple things I want us to walk away with. One, we've got to remember God's promises are always good. Another proof and indication that God's promises, when he promises something, you can count on it, you can take it to the bank, you can hold on to it no matter how long it takes for that to play out. Even in history, he shows, in the future, he shows us, he set up 1,000-year reign so all of his promises will be fulfilled. Another thing, again, and I've said this over and over again, let's get our eyes on the lost. Let's get our eyes on people who need Jesus. Can you imagine how incredibly selfish it is for a believer to be focused on self-protection versus reaching the lost? Did I just say that? I did. We cannot be, listen, and you do whatever you want, but I'm going to say it. Don't be so worried about stockpiling a bunch of food that you forget about the mission. That's not the mission. The mission is reaching the lost. Listen, God will take care of your needs. He said it over and over and over again. He will take care of you. So don't be worried. Don't worry about tomorrow. Does Matthew 6 go out the window when we talk about the end times? No way. Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. If I can take care of the grass of the field and the birds, the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, I can certainly take care of your needs. And there's not one time I read in Scripture that said, except in the end times. That Scripture is good for us today. Jesus has got you covered. He's got you in your hands. You worry about His business and He'll take care of yours. He's got you. So don't be worried. Don't be afraid. And as time goes, as time gets closer, we're going to see more things. But don't go by what you see. Go by what you... Oh man, I got to work harder on that. I say it almost every week. Don't go by what you see. Go by what you know. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so very much. Lord, as we talked about things today, Father, and I'd like to invite the worship team to come, please. Jesus, the biggest thing that we can walk out with God is that everyone in this auditorium would know, Lord, that their future is secure with you. Lord, the biggest thing that people could walk away with today is knowing, Lord, they have eternity with you. Lord, that is the focus of what we're talking about, Jesus. And I pray that not one person would exchange their future, their eternity, for what's happening in the present. Jesus, today I pray that people across this room would make decisions for you, Father. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your word would speak right now. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's someone in this room today who doesn't know you, Lord, hasn't given their life to you, hasn't truly handed over the reins to you, Jesus, I pray that today would be the day that they would do that. Lord, across this room. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I have not given my life to the Lord. I've never made that decision, but I need to today. I need to make sure that my eternity is secure. I don't want to exchange eternity for what's present. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God through His Son Jesus is salvation. Where your future is secure in Him. If you follow after Him and you give your life to Him, there's that covenant that was made. That's everything we talked about, is the promise that's ahead for you. If you'd be here and you'd say, Pastor, today I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, will you slip up your hand right now? None of us are promised tomorrow, but today is the day. Anybody, slip up your hand right now. Thank you there. Anyone else? Listen, you might have sat in the pews for 20 years and you've never done it. Today's your day, and no one's going to look at it any differently. We're all going to celebrate. Anybody else? Thank you back there. Anyone else? Hands are going up. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm going to give you just a moment. Thank you. Folks, this is what it's all about right here. Take another moment. Anyone else? You might say, Pastor, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what my future holds. Listen, if you give your life to the Lord today, you don't need to be afraid. There's nothing about fear. But there'll be a security in knowing that you've given your life to Jesus and that His promises hold true. Anyone else? Slip up your hand. We're going to pray together today. And as soon as we're done praying, actually before we pray, I'm going to invite us in here in just a moment. We're going to stand and invite our pastors and our altar workers to come. And if you raise your hand, I want you to get out of your seat and come down. We're going to pray with you. We have a box, a Bible, and some other things that we want to bless you with today. Listen, don't be afraid. But the moment we stand, step out from where you're at and come. There's nothing special about coming up here other than you're taking a step forward to say, Jesus, today I'm serious. I'm serious. So right now, across this room, will you stand and come? If you raise your hand, come right now. And come.